Chapter 2, Something's Wrong. Christopher lay in his new red tent with closed eyes, trying to envision what made each noise he heard. The frogs in the nearby pond and the crickets all around began to herald the ascent of the full moon and her entourage of stars. Christopher fancied a huge animal orchestra, tuning up to perform its nocturnal symphony. Into his thoughts flew the great shape of his owl visitor. The bird glided silently to a perch in front of the large, beastly band. The owl stretched out its wings as if to conduct the animal players. Instead, it flew away. In its place stood a small, manlike creature about half the size of the owl. He wore a hooded cape and held a small branch in one hand. He rapped sharply on the tree limb where he stood, until every creature was silent. He slowly raised his arms until he stood on his tiptoes. In response, the music swelled to an enormous volume. His command over the deep bullfrog basses, the string-like cricket melodies, the high-pitched piping of the tree frogs, the crescendos of the cicadas, and the occasional solo of a nightingale was so complete, the whole ensemble seemed but a single instrument which he alone played. The symphony began as a celebration of the joy of life. The music lifted Christopher's spirit toward heaven's door with a promise of admitting him to a peace and joy and delight beyond any he had ever known. The caped maestro performed his miracle weaving of melodies and harmonies and tones, looking first to one side and then to the other. His eyes flashed like lightning bugs, with white gold captured from the full moon above. Abruptly, the music transformed to a dirge. So heavy and mournful, tears rolled down Christopher's cheeks. The flashing brilliance of the small conductor's eyes dimmed and went dark. With their light gone, Christopher realized the significance of the creature's flashing eyes. Imbrox! Christopher jumped up, remembering too late he was in a tent, and a small one at that. The roof gave a little. One peg pulled up from the ground. As if scolding him, the tent rudely sat him back down on the new sleeping bag. Ouch! Christopher sat stunned at both ends. He tried to rub away the pain from his backside as his ears rang so loudly he could hear nothing else. It took a moment for him to realize there was nothing but the ringing to hear. The forest had gone completely still at Christopher's voice. Grabbing up his flashlight, he called to Gallant. His usually loyal companion did not open an eye or prick an ear, and Christopher had no time to waste on coaxing. Lazy mutt. With greater care this time, he hurried out of the tent. A rustling of branches and fallen leaves, as if blown by a gusty wind, broke the silence. Out of the corners of his eyes, he saw shadows scatter like field mice. An eerie fear ran up his spine as he realized there was no wind tonight. Rushing to the pond, Christopher saw the very tree and the same branch from which the Imbrox had made his music. On that limb, in the exact spot where the Imbrox had stood, was a stump and a stunted limb with only a single bare branch pointing upward. Scratching his head, Christopher Harris turned and walked back to his camp, wondering how he had imagined everything so much like it really was. "I must have seen that tree and stump and branch while gathering the firewood," he muttered. Walking back into camp, again he felt something was wrong. Switching off his flashlight, he froze in the near total darkness. He searched the sky for the full moon, or, rather, for the clouds which must be hiding it. He saw nothing but stars in a cloudless sky. He mentally checked his astronomy. A lunar eclipse? No, that was due next month and would be only partial. A full moon sets with the rising sun. Perhaps he had slept and it was near dawn. He pulled his watch from his pocket. No, he had doused the fire only a half hour before. Had his watch stopped? He checked the stars. They agreed with his watch. He walked over to the fire ring. The fire was dead, but the stones were still warm. Still, something was wrong with the fire. No, not the fire. It was the fire ring. Several of the stones were missing. The light, thimble-shaped stones. So many puzzles in one night were exhausting. Knowing morning's light often explains night's mysteries, Christopher decided to get some rest if he could just make it to his sleeping bag before he fell asleep. Crawling into his tent, he lay down, and as he slipped toward deep sleep, he reached over to stroke Gallant and let him know everything was all right. Immediately, he was wide awake. Gallant was gone. With a new energy that came from love for his closest friend, Christopher grabbed his flashlight and darted out of the tent. His search ceased before it began. Christopher's light shone on 6 stones arranged in 2 rows of 3 in front of his tent door. He recognized the 3 smaller rocks by their shapes as the stones missing from his fire ring. One of the larger stones was the small boulder he had used as a backrest. Wide-eyed and breathless, he watched as the stone surfaces changed to flowing garments and unfurled to reveal 6 humanoid creatures of various sizes, cloaked in hooded capes. 6 pairs of ember eyes glowed yellow at him with the light from his flashlight. "Emberox," he whispered.